Yeah, that part of the week where we take a look at our fantasy football teams once again, heading into game week 10. Deadline is Saturday morning, 11:30. We are joined, as always, by Joe from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Joe, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello there.
So, in terms of players and things at the moment for our fantasy teams, a lot of the what you would call regular point scorers are not doing the business, the likes of Sergio Aguero, which we've mentioned. However, I've spotted that there has been a bit of a shift of late. West Ham did not have a great start to the season. However, I've got Winston Reid in my team, and I've had him in since the start of the season, and there's a couple of one-pointers, there's three no-points, and then suddenly we've got a 7, an 8, and a 14. Are West Ham now a team that you would recommend looking at for defensive players, and Winston Reid specifically? Are there kind of pluses and minuses to him as you see it?
Well, I would say yes and no. First of all, we kind of have to work out what's happened. So West Ham, the first six game weeks, they conceded 16 goals. I mean, that was absolutely huge. And the last three, they've conceded league games. This is, they've conceded just once and they've kept two clean sheets. That's an absolutely huge turnaround. So why has that happened? Basically, one of the things they've done is they've really worked hard at stopping opponents shooting in the box at them. So what they're doing, their goal attempts outside the box are all up. Goal attempts in the box are down. So what they're doing, they're forcing them to shoot from range, and of course, shots from range are much less likely to go in than those close to the goal. So that's a good thing. So how have they managed to do that? They've managed to do that by switching to a 3-5-2 formation. So they've got three centre-backs. They basically ditched James Collins, who was known as being quite error-prone. They've got Coyote and Ogbonna alongside Reid in a back three. So that's quite crucial. So you mentioned Reid then. Reid also has a bit of a goal threat to him as well, which is where you're getting some of those other points. So incidentally, that's also why Antonio's returns have dropped off. So Antonio in defence has been moved into a kind of a right wing-back role. So that's the good news. They're really, really tightened up at the back. They've got a formation they're settled with. They've got rid of James Collins from the starting lineup. So there's some bad news. Reid is now on 4 yellow cards. He's one card away from a suspension. So it's only going to be one game, but there's something to be aware of. Also, West Ham have got a terrible run of games coming up. So it's really annoying. It coincides with one of the worst times to actually invest in West Ham. So they face Everton this weekend. Everton always score against them. And in particular, Romelu Lukaku does. He scored in all six of his last six encounters with West Ham. So basically, probably not going to be a clean sheet there. Game week 12, it gets even worse. So game week 12, they've got Tottenham, Liverpool and Manchester United away, and Arsenal at home. And then it gets better in game week 16. That's when I'd be starting to look at West Ham. And hopefully Winston Reid would have picked up his fifth yellow card and he'd be kind of back to naught again. It's good and bad news for West Ham defence.
So reading between the lines then, I also have Romelu Lukaku in my team. So it's basically Captain Romelu Lukaku this week and I should be doing all right.
He and, I would say, Arsenal assets, they play Sunderland, who have yet to keep a clean sheet. They're the ones I'm not thinking about anyone else apart from Lukaku or an Arsenal player. So, yes, I think you're very wise to captain Lukaku.
I've noticed as well, and you did flag him up very much in game week one or two, but Nathan Redmond is suddenly being seen as doing very good things at Southampton. I mean, I haven't actually looked, but I'm imagining he is quite a good cheap option if you're looking for like an alternative to Aguero that frees up some funds elsewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, ahead of game week one, he was a real favourite of Fantasy Football Scout. We spotted that he was playing in an attacking role, so we thought he would do well. He did. He did score a goal. Then he went on a bit of a barren run. So his price went up after game week one. Price went down again. But then in the last couple of games, he's actually scored. So that's good. And one of the things that has been good about him, even when he was not scoring, so those six or so games when he wasn't scoring, his underlying stats were great. His goal attempts were huge. So he's a real kind of poster boy for stats fans like me. So we knew that it was going to come, and there it is there. Once again, a bit like West Ham, though, keep an eye on those fixtures, though. So he faces Chelsea this weekend. So possibly not the best time to get him in if you haven't got him. But then it gets much better. Game week 11, Hull. Hull are the whipping boys. If you remember when Derby were in the Premier League, remember Sunderland of old, and lots of teams like that, Hull are them. Hull are the ones you really want to face. You want to, so players like Redmond, Charlie Austin, are great ones to get in for Game Week 11. Then it kind of fixtures get a bit mixed, really. They've got Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton in, following that. So not great fixtures. Also, there is a slight warning. We don't know. They've got a player, Buffel, who's suddenly got minutes under his belt. He's their record signing. He's in. So not all of these players are going to fit. Charlie Austin, Redmond, Buffel, all of these players, not sure. So there's a slight kind of slight question mark there as well. So as with Winston Reid in the West Ham defence, there's good and bad news for Redmond. He's got the stats. He's starting to score. But there's some bad fixtures on the horizon.
Something else that I wanted to ask, because obviously we do this update, I sometimes get asked for certain things about fantasy football, and I'm not necessarily qualified to answer as such. You're the man for me when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I've been asked about substitutes and the placing and the order of substitutes in your fantasy football team. You have four, a goalkeeper, and then three outfield players. Now, the way that they work, in my understanding, is that they obviously can swap in and out if you get a player with naught points. A goalkeeper will obviously only replace a goalkeeper, but I think I'm merely scratching the surface with how all this works. How do you kind of work your bench?
Well, yeah, there's the getting the order right is key. So obviously the one at the front of the queue will replace a non-playing starter first off. But I always think the best tactics are in the number one outfield bench player. I tend to make the midfielder or the forward. They just tend to get more points. And defenders, especially if they're cheap, if they're the kind of defender that you've benched anyway, you probably don't fancy them to get a clean sheet. So the chances are they probably won't. So they'll just get 2 points. Whereas if it's a midfielder or maybe it's your a third striker, you know, they could have the potential of possibly getting a goal or an assist or perhaps some bonus points as well. So I tend to put them first as well. You also got to remember formations as well. So you have to play at least three defenders. So if one of your three playing defenders doesn't make it, then the first defender on your bench will come in. So even if that's your, if you've got this tactic of having a striker or midfielder if it's your first sub, well, they're not going to come in because you still need to get three defenders in there. So your next defender will come in. There's something cheeky you can do though if you fancy being a bit cheeky with your substitutes bench. If you want to give your league rivals a bit of a shock when it comes to the end of the game week. So if you have your player that you know is out, so you know that they're suspended, for example, so you know they're definitely not going to start or play at all. So put them in your first 11 and then put your best player, perhaps Lukaku, Sanchez, and put them as your first sub. You know they're going to come in. So that way, your rivals will be looking at your team thinking, oh, look, I'm doing okay. I'm getting much more than them. And then as soon as the game week ends, all those subs come on. And then suddenly, perhaps if you captain Lukaku as well, suddenly you've got 10, 20 extra points on them, and you can give them a bit of a shock if they haven't noticed your bench. So that's something cheeky you can do.
I like that bit of sneakiness. I want to ask as well, though, just because I'm facing the situation. Robert Snodgrass is currently sat as my first sub. He has got the red exclamation mark on him. If a player within my team were in a position that he could go to, didn't play, would it sub him in even though he can't get points, or would it just jump him completely?
No, it would just jump him. So you'd be fine. I mean, if you've got Robert Snodgrass, because he's out for so long, I'd probably look to get rid of him, to be honest. And there's plenty of options as well. So you've mentioned Redmond there as well. Joe Allen, 5.1, very cheap. Got 45 points, good fixtures. Chadley at West Brom is 6.6. If you've got a bit more money, he's on 46 points. He's had three double-digit fantasy Premier League points hauls this season. So we're only 9 game weeks in. So a third of them, he's earned more than 10 points. So that's pretty good. So, yeah, I'd personally probably want to be looking to move him on. But you could do something cheeky with him on your bench.
Well, if you want to find out some more tips, you can always find Fantasy Football Scouts online at FF Scouts on Twitter via fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Or if you play on the Fantasy Premier League website, you'll see the Scout tab up near the top. So there's information from these guys there. But for this week, Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you.